So I'm thankful that all of you are here today and that we've had some good communication already this morning. And so here we are today. Lots of Word of God going forth and lots of and God prevailing. And one thing I believe in all my with all my heart is that if we will understand and perceive the righteousness of God in the day in which we live, which is today, now, with God, what we should begin to see in and of ourselves is that God is moving us into a place where the greatest opportunity to evangelize the world for Jesus Christ has ever been made known in you. And that is awesome. And how we, when we talk about that, we're not talking about sending out Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or some other world-renowned evangelist. Is what we're talking about is you. What God is doing in you to establish the word in you that you become the greatest evangelist in opportunity that the world has ever known. And that is a miracle. That is incredible. God is providing to you the opportunity for you to be raised up as the word of God, as a Christ, to speak the salvation of God in your world. Man. That is, I can't tell you how exciting that is for me. So I pray that, this is my prayer for you this morning, is that we will begin to become awakened, not woke, as the world says it, but become awakened to God. And to know that God is God, and to know that through the power of God's faith, hope, and love, that he is beginning to redeem in you the greatest aspects of himself so that you become a manifestation of that faith, hope, and love to the world, and that you can begin to allow God to create in you a clean heart to where you know that it is God, and when you open your mouth, only God comes out of it. Is that not awesome? So I want to go to Romans 10 for just a moment. We've been in Romans 10 many times in the past. I'm going to start with verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. So when we say, do this, keep the sayings of Jesus, were the sayings of Jesus commandments? But were they according to the law, or were they according to grace? Grace. So what does it take to work the commandments of Jesus? Faith. Good. Somebody was listening. That's awesome. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. So are we supposed to ask those questions? No. Those aren't questions we're supposed to ask. Why? Because God's already done it. It's the work of God in you. All you're supposed to do is what? Believe. Believe it. Let's go. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. So now, by the work of God, if I can declare Abraham as my father, what can I declare? Who is Abraham? Father of faith. So, do I need to know Abraham? But how did, isn't that what the Pharisees said they knew? But they denied the Christ. So did they have faith or not? No, they were in unbelief. They weren't believing the word of God. Thus they couldn't enter in. So Jesus says, if you knew Abraham, because before Abraham, I was. So if you knew Abraham, you would know me. So if I know Abraham, and not Abraham as a person, but because of the working of faith If faith is working, do I now know Abraham? Is Abraham now present in my thought? I mean, that's why I spent some time with Abe, is to establish faith in your mind. Because faith opens the door to what we're about to see and hear. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if you confess or proclaim with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So do I need to, in my mind, do I need to think about, okay, who's going to ascend into heaven? Who's going to go into hell and raise Christ up? No, I need to believe in my heart that it's done. It's been done. It's finished. And that's what Connie was speaking about in what she said, how God presented himself to her this morning. All I need to do is believe in the word that God has sent, and he will begin to establish all these things for me. It's not by my works, lest any man should boast. It's by the works of the Spirit in the mind, in the translation from flesh to spirit. Does anybody not understand that when I talk about those things? Because it's important that we allow God through the Spirit to take our mind out of flesh and translate it or bring it into the understanding of the Spirit, to where now it shows who we are in him and not our perceptions outwardly of the world. And believe me, there is a difference in the aspects of the soul and in the thoughts of the mind that are night and day when we speak it this way. It is not the same. It's even, we've even in times past, we've talked about sin, correct? How many of you have judged yourself sinful based upon the thoughts of the flesh? All of us. But how many of you understand sin from the thoughts of God? Okay, we're starting to. Is that good or bad? That's good. Because now, if I understand sin from the aspect or from the perceptions of God, will I condemn myself? No. Because I know it's not, I'm not the sinner. Who's the sinner? Yeah, the man of sin or the devil is the sinner, and he has been from the beginning. So what is being made known in me then is how the devil has worked to deceive my mind, because I know from the thoughts of God, I am a son. But I got deceived. But now God is revealing the deceiver, bringing me to repentance, which is an act of God, not an act of myself. I'm not the repentant one. It's a work of God to bring me to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. If I was to go further back in the book of Romans to the second chapter, right? Do you not know it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? Chapter 2, Romans. It's a work of God. Everything that God is doing to redeem you is his work, not your work. No matter how we think in our minds that we need to do something, the more we think we need to do, the further from the truth we become. This is why believing through faith, hope, and love begin to create in you the works of the Father, to where you know them by the Holy Ghost. Because who's the Holy Ghost? How about God? It came out, Jesus went back unto the Father, into the Father, the Bible says. He ascended back into the Father. And what did he send? The Holy Ghost. And that's the evidence. The Holy Ghost becomes the evidence that Jesus ascended and went back into the Father. Now I have a testimony or a witness that Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the Father in power, where he was and always has been forever. So now the prophecy that's been spoken, it becomes what? Fulfilled and true, correct? So now do I still live in the prophecy, or do I now live in the fulfillment of what God has said? So let's take a moment then. Talk about Abraham again for just a moment. When Abraham was called the father of faith, by God, the Father, correct? And told him he's not just going to be an exalted father, he's now going to be a father of many nations. A translation. So now was Abraham living in the fullness of the promise that God had made? Or was there something yet to come? There was something yet to come, and what was it? It was Isaac, the son. So now Abraham knew that he was the father of faith. He was the father of many nations. But it's going to be sealed or established through Isaac, the son of God, the promise of the Father. And it's the same for you. God is ever working, ever creating, always knowing every thought in each and every one of us. He knows where we are every moment, every hour of every day in our thoughts. And he knows what we have need of before we ask. Because through faith, hope, and love, the mind of God is so eternally existing in those things that he can accomplish every act of his will in every man at all times. That's the part that blows my mind. The Bible says that not all men have faith. So in the eternities of God, does that mean the man that doesn't have faith will never have faith? Or in the eternities of time, if he doesn't have faith now, will he become faithful at some point? I'm telling you, he's going to become faithful in the generations of God. And how it all works, God knows. And here's what we do in it. We think that the Word of God comes to us to teach us how God works in those eternities so that we can know immediately. I'm telling you, folks, that is sin. When we begin to assume thoughts that have not been taught to us or told to us, and we think that we know the answer of it in and of ourselves, now we are in sin. Because now the deceiver or the liar from the beginning is now working in the mind. It's an amazing thing. Let me go back. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, what's being saved? We know it says you, but not you in the flesh. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Son of God, who you are in him. This is where we have misapplied, misunderstood, and misinterpreted the Word of God for years and years and years. Because we live in a mind of flesh and not in a mind of spirit. Let me go on. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ will not be put to shame. Now, let me ask you something. If I understand the word believe correctly, it's not based upon what I perceive as believing. Is that true or not true? Do I know how to believe without the Word of God? No. This is an amazing thing to me. Very interesting. Because I know that everyone in my family will tell you that they believe in God, except for a couple, except for a few. And they just say, there is no God. They just don't believe in God. But even they know deep in their heart that there is a God. They know it. So, believing is established by the Word of God. So, if I don't know the Word of God, can I believe? No. That's why no man comes unto the Father unless the Father draws him. And he draws him through the power of his word. So Abraham, did Abraham know that there was a God before the word of God came to him? Yes, he did. Who taught it to him? His father. His father taught it to him. So I, as a father, what is it that I am to perform for my children? I am supposed to tell them the Word of God. I'm supposed to tell them that God is real, God is right, God is true. And that there will come a time when God will visit even you, them, my children. And He will sow a word in them. And that word that He sows into them will do what in them? Yes. It will save them. It will cause them to believe. Wow. That's why I'm so thankful that I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in church, basically. I've never known not being in some form of church, ever. Just don't remember ever being in it. I've always been in it. And I'm glad I was, because it allowed me to see things, even from a young age, that I knew were not God. And it caused me to seek God in a deeper way. It caused me to be ready to move by that same word. Even to the place that in my 20s, I heard a word from heaven, and it caused me to come, to be drawn to the Father, to know that I was called in the mind of God, to be established by that same word, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Now, it didn't, and I separated myself to that word. I allowed it to work in such a way that I could not stay in the thought that I was raised in. I couldn't stay in it. I had to leave so that God's work could be made manifest in my thoughts. Not outwardly, inwardly. I had to move myself to a place where God Himself could instruct me apart from where I had been before. And God was faithful. And the Word of the Lord became alive. Man, the Word of God. I had to give myself to it, didn't I, Mama? I mean, man, the time spent in those days, we were raising three boys and doing all the activities that you need to do as a family for raising children, and it was unreal. Regardless of all that, I didn't care if I put the kids to bed at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night. I would get my books out, and I would begin to study the Word of God, because I didn't. That's the only way I knew how to approach the Lord, was to study the Word. And so I would get my books out, because that's what I knew to do in those days. I mean, we're talking a man that's in his mid-20s to early 30s. I would get my books out and I would begin to read and pray and study the Word of God. It's an amazing thing how today, when we speak as an elder in this fellowship, how that word that even then that I didn't understand, today, God has quickened and made alive in the resurrection of His Son. It's an incredible thing. And some of you can even testify that when you talk to your elders, what they remember you saying to them about yourself, they don't forget. They just don't forget. That's how much attention God is giving to you. That them who he has raised up for your salvation, don't forget. That's amazing, isn't it, John? Even years, you can call up Brian and he can say, John, I remember when you said this, and that was how many years ago? No, it was what he first started to talk to you about was like when I first came in 2006. So that's been 16 years ago. Yeah, that's because. What did they have to go through? Same thing. It's the same mind. The heart of every man is the same. That's why When it comes to Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, what are they? They are one. They are not separate entities. They are one entity. They are God. They are one. They're the same. And so every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God that you hear and becomes life in you, what does it create in you? The same. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Didn't Dan preach for you the power of the prophecy, who was and is to come? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the prophecy, it's eternal in how it works the parables for you to become the Son of God. And when we put it in the aspect of those things for ourselves, now we're beginning to understand and know that this Word of God that God hath given to me, that God has set forth in my mind, it now becomes the proclamation of my mouth. It's funny, we have some neighbors in Donnelly, and they're from California, and they brought up a friend who is he's a Christian, a deep, concerned Christian. Name's Elon. But Elon comes up to me, says, and he knew I had to go home and speak last Sunday, and he goes, "So how much time do you spend in preparation?" And I just looked at him, I said, "My whole life. My whole life. God has been preparing me for this hour." Isn't that what Jesus would tell you? He's telling it to you this morning. You are not your own. You are God's. You belong to God. You are His possession. He paid a price for you. He bought you. He took on sin, death, and the devil and overcame them for you. And He purchased unto Himself your salvation forevermore. That through faith, hope, and love, when you believe, it would create in you the mind and the heart of the Father. And you would see yourself as a son. Not in the flesh. Not in this body, this tabernacle of flesh that we're so proud of or so disgusted with, however you want to perceive it. But you would see yourself as the Son of God, knowing that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God has come to create in you the life of Himself, as He promised from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Let us create man in our image. The power of God, unleashed by the Spirit of truth, to create in you everything that God has said, that you might know yourself in Him as He knows you, and release in you the power to proclaim the testimony of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen this morning? It's the truth. That's how much God loves you. That's what the faith of God works in you, and He will continue to do so forever. God bless you this morning.